In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate the seven sorrows of the Blessed Mother. It is twice in the year that we bring forth this feast. Our Holy Mother, the Church, presents the seven sorrows of the Blessed Mother to us in Friday of Passion Week, and again on the 15th of September. It is, you might say, redundant, but it is not necessarily so when we understand the mind of the Church. If I look at Christ crucified, and we look back to Holy Week and Christ's terrible suffering, it is a time of sorrow, it is a time of mourning, it is a time of repentance. But later in the year, we find that we celebrate the exaltation of the cross. And we think of Christ's passion throughout the year, actually at every Mass. It is the renewal of the sacrifice of Calvary. But throughout the year, there is a sense of joy. Oh, happy fault, oh, happy cross that has brought Christ's sacrifice for us. It is sad and sorrowful to think of the suffering that he had to endure, but that sacrifice that he made fills us with consolation, fills us with joy, and we are most grateful for that occasion. The life of the Blessed Mother parallels that of Christ during Passion Week, Friday of Passion Week. We think of the Blessed Mother's sorrows, the seven swords that pierced her heart, the prophecy of Simeon. And yet, as I think of the prophecy of Simeon, I also think that it is a mixture of sadness and joy. For Simeon foretold that this child was going to be for the rise and the fall of many. Simeon foretold to the Blessed Mother that her own heart a sword would pierce. But at the same time, holding this Christ child in his arms, Simeon prays to God, "You can dismiss your servant now, for my eyes have beheld the salvation of my people." Simeon, an old man, is eager to pass away, to leave this world. He's had enough, but now he can go joyfully. He can go in peace. And he says to God, "You have fulfilled your promise. Now my eyes have seen my salvation. You can dismiss me now. I am ready to go." So we see that even in the heart of Simeon, there's this sorrow, but yet this joy. In the life of the Blessed Mother, it parallels Christ exactly. The Blessed Mother's sorrows were the sorrows of Christ. The sorrows of the Blessed Mother were the sorrows of Christ. The joys of the Blessed Mothers were the joys of Christ. And so as we honor the Blessed Mother, we take nothing away from Christ. On the contrary, as I sing the praises of the Blessed Mother, it brings joy to the heart of God. And so today, we look at the sorrows of the Blessed Mother, not focused upon the sadness, the pain and the misery, but today our hearts are drawn to the effects of her sorrows, to the reward that she now enjoys in heaven because she had followed Christ through his life, but most importantly, to the cross, to Calvary. We see the Blessed Mother in today's gospel standing beneath the cross of our Lord. And our Lord looks down upon her, and St. John, his beloved apostle, her heart is filled with sorrow, her heart is filled with pain. as she stands there beneath the cross, not fainting away, not swooning, but bravely, stout-heartedly, stands the Blessed Mother strong, offering the sacrifice of her Son, feeling his pain, physical pain, his spiritual pain in her own heart, and she does not faint away. She sees in this the hand of God. She is suffering terribly, and our Lord looks upon her, understanding the loss that she has received. But he also rewards her. Woman, behold thy son. He sees the pain in the eyes of St. John, the beloved disciple or apostle. And he says to St. John, behold thy mother. And at that moment, Christ has given Mary to the church. Christ has given the church to Mary. There is a tremendous loss as Christ is sacrifice, but yet there is this tremendous gain. Our hearts are filled with sorrow, but our hearts are filled at the same time with joy. How beautiful it is to receive Mary as our mother. How beautiful it is for Mary to receive us. And I think we seldom truly appreciate the relationship that we should have with the Blessed Mother, the relationship that the Church has with the Blessed Mother. Saint Bonaventure says his devotion to the Blessed Mother was such that he kept himself at her feet because he knew full well that the lightning bolts of Christ's anger would not strike at his mother's feet. And as long as he is there next to her, he is safe. The wrath of her son cannot be brought against anyone hiding at the feet of the Blessed Mother. It is truly a beautiful thing for us to consider that never was it known that anyone who fled to the protection of the Blessed Mother was left unaided. All we need to do is cry out to her as a little children cries out to his mother. Save me, help me, protect me. And the devils will flee. The anger of God will be subdued, and we will find mercy at the feet of Mary. And for this, we have cause to rejoice. Mary gained this position in heaven. She gained this place in the church through her sorrows, through her sacrifice, through her union with Christ. And just as we feel compassion for Christ suffering upon the cross, but yet we feel joy that he has opened the gates of heaven for us, that he has brought peace to man between men and God, so with the Blessed Mother we feel sorrow at her life and all that she had to endure, but our hearts are filled with joy for what she has gained, for what we have gained. And so now I ask that we look into our own lives. So often we can't see the forest for the trees. When we are in the midst of pain, we can't feel anything else but pain. We can't see anything else but pain. But that pain soon subsides. It goes away. And then there are times of joy, times of celebration, and all we can think about is the good, and we tend to forget of the times of sacrifice, the pain and suffering that came before, or that are soon to follow. But our lives, just like the life of the Blessed Mother, are filled with joys and sorrows. They go hand in hand. I ask you, look at the sorrows of the Blessed Mother and see if they were not accompanied by a joy also. Her flight into Egypt, what great sorrow. Joseph wakes her up in the middle of the night. Get the child ready. We must leave now. What sorrow, what pain, what agony. Herod is seeking to kill the child. But what joy that the child has now escaped the hands of Herod. When the Blessed Mother lost the Christ child in the temple, and for 3 days was fretting and worrying and searching for him. Her heart is filled with pain and sorrow. Was accompanied by finding him in the temple, listening and speaking with the elders, with the learned men, impressing them with the knowledge that this little child, the Son of God, possesses. What joy fills her heart. And we can take every one of her sorrows and pair it with another joy. And I believe if we look at our own lives, we'll see that God arranges it just like that. There's a sorrow, but he pairs it with a joy. There's a joy, but he pairs it with a sorrow. He's preventing us from falling into despair. And he's preventing us from falling into presumption. He's trying to maintain a balanced keel here for us, to keep our lives, to say, modest, the mean, the average. Keep everything balanced so that we don't offend against the Holy Ghost in despair or offend against the Holy Ghost in presumption. When pride starts building up a little bit, he sends us a cross to humble us, bring us down a notch or two. When we're falling into despair and hopelessness, he sends some joy into our lives. But most importantly, I want us to consider our pains, our sorrows, our sadness, because it seems the world is filled with that. And when we're in the midst of pain and suffering, it would be good for us to turn to Christ hanging on the cross, good to turn to the Blessed Mother standing beneath the cross, and remind ourselves what you've heard so many times here. God loves you. It's good for you. This is what you need. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't sweat it. If your body is in pain, there's no sense for your soul to be in pain too. And if your soul is in pain, go to confession and get over it. St. Francis of Assisi used to look in the eyes of the brothers, and when he saw that their conscience was bothering them, he used to tell them, go wash your face. Which was his key word for saying, go to confession. Whatever's bothering your conscience, go wash it away in the sacrament of confession, and then come back here, not all gloomy anymore. And you say, but that's well and good when your body's healthy and strong. But I ask you, look at the saints. In the greatest of pain, in the greatest of agony, they keep a cheerful countenance. Their soul is rejoicing. I think of St. Lawrence as he's put upon the gridiron. He jokes with his torturers and says, you can turn me over now, I'm done on this side. I think of St. Thomas More going to his execution, rejoicing, cheerful. It was quite frustrating to the Anglican Archbishop. How can you be so certain you're going to go to heaven? He could be so certain because he tells us. God cannot refuse one who loves him and is so eager to be with him. As eager as I am to go and be with God, God can't refuse me. Here is a man who has been starved in a dungeon, cold and dark and damp for I forget how many years, cut off from his loved ones. All his friends, all his support have betrayed him basically, siding with the king, mocking him, laughing at him. Who are you? Look, everybody else, all these learned men have signed the king's decree. The archbishops have done it, the bishops have done it, all the clergy, all the wise men, much smarter than you, have signed it. Why won't you sign it? This poor man is alone. Or at least materially speaking, worldly speaking. In the midst of that sorrow, his only joy is to be with Christ. The same I could say for every saint. I can say the same for the Blessed Mother. She did not despair as Christ hung upon the cross. As I said earlier, she did not faint away. She was not swooning out of fear of what's going to happen. In the midst of it all, she remained strong. She knew that with this great sorrow would come great joy. With this great sacrifice would come a great reward. She knew in the depths of her soul that God will not be outdone in generosity. And so I say to us, whatever it is we have, whatever cross it is we have to bear, embrace it. Thank God for it. It is a sign that he loves us. For God chastises those whom he loves. He corrects those whom he loves because he doesn't want them to fall away. Punishment from God is a sign he loves us. And rather than become angry or turn inward, we should say, thank you, Lord. I needed that. This is what is good for me. And this is truly what we should do. I would usually ask you to look and consider children, because our Lord said, unless you become as little children, you can't get into the kingdom of heaven. But I ask you, consider, what should the child's response be when he has been punished by mother or father? Thank you for watching out for me. Thank you for protecting me. But tragically, in the world today, what we see is the child filled with pride, filled with perhaps a little demon inside him, turns to those parents who so lovingly correct and rebuke and punish, not because they want to, but because it is necessary, because they love the child. That child will turn and say, I hate you. In the midst of their punishment, they rebel and turn away from their parents, the ones who love them and provide everything for them. Say, this is a terrible habit, a terrible custom, I don't know what to call it, a terrible evil in our day. But it doesn't stay with children. Tragically, I've seen so many adults in the midst of whatever suffering God has sent them or allowed to come to their lives say, what did I do to deserve this? There can't be a God in heaven. You're not my God. I can't pray to that God. And they've missed everything. They have failed to understand that that cross is for their own good. That cross is because God loves them. God is trying to save them. He's trying to correct them. And far from turning away from God, they should be thanking Him. They should be praising Him. I thank you, Lord, for this cross. I will bless you when you take things away, as much as I will bless you when you give me good things. We have to be that strong. We have to have that much faith that we, like the Blessed Mother, can stand in the face of the cross, stand beneath the cross, not fainting away in fear, not running away in fear, not rebelling in anger and deluding ourselves. It's a justified anger. Am I not right in being angry? No, you're not right in being angry. You're not right in rebelling against God. You're not right in shaking your fist against God. If you want to be right, you must stand with the Blessed Mother. You ask this sacrifice of me, Lord, I willingly give it. You ask me to suffer, I will suffer. You ask me to carry this cross, I will carry it. And when we develop that attitude, when we develop that frame of mind, at that moment, there will be peace in our hearts and souls. The pain is accompanied with a joy, with pleasure, with happiness, and they come to us hand in hand. In the midst of the strikes that we receive from God, we rejoice because it brings us pleasure. Ah, yes, God loves me. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.